I know. It's a terrible thing. All right, so we're beginning today a new series, as I mentioned before, so the Narrative Lectionary. And for the fall of 2016, the theme of the Narrative Lectionary is promises, God's promises, to be more specific, and probably no surprise to any of you. And we are beginning near the beginning, but not quite at the beginning. We begin with the second creation story. You've likely heard me make reference to the two creation stories in the Bible. The first one is the one with the 6 days of creating and God's resting on the seventh. The second creation story is different, has a different author, is in Genesis 2 and 3. In this story, we have the human being that we end up calling Adam, and we have Eve, obviously, in this part of the story. They're not quite took names that specifically yet, but we do have the garden, and we have everyone's favorite character, the serpent. It's a similar story, but yet different from the first creation story. All right, so let's begin today with a couple of points that you really need to know regarding the story. You ready? I need you to be listening carefully, because this is going to be different. Although if you really listen carefully to me, I've said some of these things before. But really open up, because some of the stuff is not going to be in line probably with what you've always heard about this story. All right, so the first human being we know is Adam. In this story, I don't know if you noticed, is not created in the image of God, as in the first creation story. In the second creation story, Adam is brought forth from the ground, the earth, the dirt. Not in the image of God, out of dirt. And here's, and there's some wordplay in the Hebrew. If we're all good about reading Hebrew, we might notice that there's a little wordplay. You know, Alice, right, been brushing up on a Hebrew lately, and so right, she could come up and tell you all about this. But we missed something in the translation to English, and that there's a sort of a play between sort of Adam and the ground that also has a similar word. But the human being is brought forth from the earth to serve the earth. Now, depending on your translation of the Bible, you may be more familiar with the notion that Adam was to till the earth or work it or farm it, but it's different from the first creation story where the human being is, do we remember this? Well, in the first story, the human being's their relationship with the earth? Anyone? It's a word that begins with D. Dominion. They have dominion over the earth. In the second creation story, no dominion. No dominion. You're there to work the land. You're there to serve the land. It's different. So the relationship is of serving, working with the land, the dirt from which the human being sprang forth. As my Hebrew scriptures professor from Divinity School, Ted Hebert, he'd be so proud if I'm still quoting him, I found the little thing, observes in a book that he wrote, Genesis 2 pictures the human's role not as ruler, but as groundskeeper, or a tenant farmer. All right, so it's different, but it's important. So I want you to have that in your head, right? And if you're starting to get, right, your mind is just blown, wait till we get to the next one. And so the groundskeeper, that's what we are. Good. All right, now here's the other thing you need to know. It's about that helper part, right? The helper part, the creation of the second human being. We don't read a lot of that today, but we all know. So the second human being is created as a helper because the first human being was lonely and the animals aren't enough. For the first human being. So a second human being, and I'm not gonna get into a lot of sort of technical stuff, but sort of the sense that there's one sort of human being, it's really at the creation of the second one that they become two genders. But I'm not gonna go too much into that. But I know, but look, it's just more stuff to go along with it. But what's important to recognize here is that we tend to then have an understanding that that second person, it presumably the woman, as the helper, is created in a subservient role. How many of us have sort of grown up with at least some kind of obvious or not sense that woman is of second, subservient, the helper? Well, it turns out that's a little problematic because the word that is used here is actually it's the same word that's used later in the Hebrew scriptures in reference to God and God's relationship to Israel. So maybe not so much subservient as partner. You know, I'm blowing Steve's mind, looking up, he's like, it can't be right. It is right. It is right. Helper, partners, helpers together, not one above the other. They are to be partners, equal partners. All right, you good? All right. So now, let's get to the last part of the story. Because, I mean, I could go on all day, but I'm going to keep it a little, you know, try to keep it kind of short. All right, let's get to the last part of the story. Everyone's favorite part of the story. What are the words that you associate with the last part of the story? And if, arguably, you know, the serpent is there, and there's the tree, and the fruit. Anybody got any words that you associate with this part of the story? Christy?
Deceit.
What?
Deceit.
Deceit? Okay. What else?
Temptation.
Craft. What? Crafty. Yeah. What else?
Original sin.
Original sin. There's a good word. Was that what you were going to say? Jerry, you go. Fall of man. All right. So, but guess what? None of those words are in the story. No fall, no sin. They're not a part of the story. They're not a part of the story. And maybe somewhere along the way, we've gone a little astray in how we deal with the story. Now, those of you who have probably been stuck sort of listening to me in different ways, this is a part of the story I'm really going to, and I'm here, I've got nothing except for a few little notes, and I'm going to try not to go completely nuts because this part of the story really gets under my skin, and there's a lot of questions. I mean, there's the tree, it's in the middle of everything. Where did that serpent come from? If God created everything and everything was good, then what's the serpent doing there? Crafty, but actually the word probably is more better translated clever. So what's that doing there? And then, you know, she gets blamed for everything when she actually didn't officially get the instructions to begin with. Right, those instructions were given to the first human being. She wasn't even around yet. He gets the instructions, don't eat from the tree. I mean, she's aware of the instructions, but she knows, she taught you're not supposed to eat from that tree, and then, you know, she eats from the tree, and then what does she do? She gives a piece to her husband. Does he say anything? Does he say, gee, I don't think we should be doing this? No. And then, I mean, it gets to this part of the story, but what happens later? He blames her. Blames her. Like, if there is no other truth in this story, it's fact. Right? Human beings and their relationships with each other, right from the beginning. But I want to suggest this when we think about this story, and as we start this series, when we're thinking about how God is portrayed, how human beings are portrayed, how their relationships are described in these very early ancient stories, is to think about them not so much as these histories, but these stories that really, from the very beginning, open up these questions that human beings have been struggling with since the very beginning, and that we do as well. And that not only that, but these ancient stories have this truth of question in them, and that those questions are sacred. and holy and a part of our lives of faith. Let me just run through a few of them. I'm offering no answers today. These are, if there are questions that you have or things that you're wondering about, they are holy and sacred because they're part of this ancient, holy, sacred story. It's a story in which and through which human beings struggle with who we are. What is our purpose? What is our relationship with each other? How can we, how should we be in good relationship with each other? What is our relationship with our Creator? And what does that mean? And to what extent are our lives spent trying to be our Creator? These are questions that are holy and they are sacred, and we should spend an awful lot more time thinking and dwelling on them and pondering them, because that will bring us closer to each other and to the God we worship. Praise be to God. Amen. And now we are going to sing.